Harm reduction is not a new idea, and the research is pretty unequivocal. These initiatives help save lives and prevent the spread of disease. But in order for harm reduction to be successful, most public health experts say programs need buy-in from the communities in which they are situated. Carol Lofton reports.
Fayette County's harm reduction program started in October of 2017.
What do you know about our program here?
Nothing.
Okay, check it out. So we give you a kit. We give you 30 needles. You bring 30 needles back next week. We give you 30 more needles. You know why we do that?
During a recent clinic, a recovery coach met with a participant.
Did you do anything after that 28 day?
That's where I messed up, no.
Yeah, you didn't get a long-term treatment. How long ago was that?
Terry Harlan is the administrator.
Everyone understands that this drug epidemic is the biggest public health issue that we have dealt with.
She says the closure of the Charleston program is having a negative impact on public perception of harm reduction efforts in Fayette County.
I do feel like that what happened in Charleston definitely hurt us a little bit. When everything happened in Charleston and their harm they decided not to continue with their harm reduction program, we definitely started hearing people locally say, well, it didn't work in Charleston, so why would you keep doing that here? Even though there's lots of evidence and research out there that show that harm reduction does help to prevent the spread of disease and does help to get people the help that they need.
The trickle effect to other programs like Fayetteville's likely happened in the last 6 months the Kanawha Charleston program was open, when the narrative around the program became
needles were everywhere, our property crimes went through the roof.
That's former Mayor Danny Jones. There was never a study done about whether the harm reduction program caused an increase in needle litter, so it's impossible to confirm the veracity of the claim. But we do know that during the 2 years the program was open, more than 650,000 needles were distributed, and only about 66% of them were returned. West Virginia University public health researcher Robin Polini says that doesn't mean all of those needles ended up on the street, though.
In West Virginia, it is legal to dispose of sharps, medical sharps, in the trash if you package them and label them in a certain way. And so the Charleston program, just like many other programs across the state, gives out puncture-proof containers and information on how to dispose of those safely, right? And so we don't have any idea how many of those ended up properly disposed of in household trash and how many didn't.
Dr. Susan Gardner is Assistant Dean of the University of Charleston School of Pharmacy, one of the volunteer groups very involved in the Kanawha Charleston Harm Reduction Program.
There are times where I just took a walk on the East End looking, saying, okay, if it's this bad, I've got to know whether it's this. Surely I'll see it. And the only time that I've ever come across a needle in Charleston has been doing a syringe cleanup.
But without a study of Charleston's needle litter, there is also no way to prove that the 200,000 unreturned needles didn't end up on the streets either. Members of the Charleston Police Department say they've observed much less needle litter since the program closed. The department also has reams of photographs from first responders and community members of needles found in public spaces. And comments on news articles and Facebook posts seem to paint a community drowning in needles. But on some level, needle litter itself isn't the issue. Polini again.
And so part of the narrative that was built around the Kanawha program is this us and them of, like, we're the community and those people are drug users. Those people are part of our community. They're West Virginians.
Meanwhile, in Wyoming County, where Needle Exchange has been in operation since May, Executive Director Fred Cox says their program has been relatively well-received. He guesses that's because they had a small HIV outbreak prior to the program opening.
A picture is worth 1,000 words, I guess you'd say. So that picture really was quite clear to us here. And I think that really did help change some minds.
Do you think that if you had tried to do harm reduction before the outbreak, like as a preliminary sort of health prevention effort, that people wouldn't have been as accepting of it?
I do think that, yes.
Which brings us back to Charleston. Danny Jones.
It's not up to us to ruin a town over the fact that people have communicable diseases, and there were no reports of those kind of the Hep C or the outbreak or the AIDS virus outbreak.
Every public health expert interviewed for this series said that from a public health perspective, harm reduction, including needle exchange, is not a controversial issue. Former Commissioner for Public Health Rao Gupta says harm reduction is a multifaceted idea that encompasses not just needle exchange, but testing and family planning and treatment of diseases too.
And then other issues that come across that are consequential in some ways, like, you know, needle litter and other things, there have to be plans in place to address those. What we can't afford to do is ignore them.
There often are demands in public health, he said, to do things differently. But he believes there's always a middle ground you can get to with negotiation. And you do that, he says, because people's lives are at stake. For Appalachia Health News, I'm Carol Lofton.
Our deep dive exploring harm reduction continues tomorrow.